I would like to tell my story in two parts. One part is a difficult part, the very difficult part of life I've gone through. And the second part is a really positive part, knowing that God has led me through the scriptures to him. I was born. That's good, that's it, finished. I'm still here. My parents wanted a little girl. So for the first 2 years of my life, I was dressed as a girl and had curlers put in my hair and everything else. But my parents soon found out I was not a girl. By the age of two, they surely realized I wasn't a girl. I was sent round to a church, local church, at the age of three into the Sunday school on Sunday mornings so my parents could get rid of me. And through that church, I became a choir boy. And they were affiliated to the Royal Schools of Music, so I was able to sing in different cathedrals and different churches, and it was a beautiful experience of my life. But the only problem with that church was the salvation of God was through the sacraments and going to church. Though they seemed to worship this God, they had the cross with Jesus on it. And we had all the kissing of the rings and kissing of the... It was a very high church, and ringing bells, and Hail Marys and all that. And I found it difficult. God was always so remote to me. I stayed in that church till I was about 18. And then shortly after that, a little while after that, when I was 19, I actually got married very young. My life progressed. We had four lovely children. And then the first real difficulty happened in my life. I had a bad accident at work. I was working on the Queen's Theatre in Hornchurch. I was the engineer there. I was setting out part of the building, and a jack came out from underneath the steelwork, and the lump of steelwork came right across the site, hit me on the head, and knocked me 18 foot. I went unconscious straight away, but I came to briefly. I suddenly realized I might die. I called upon the name of the Lord. I really did. I didn't know him. I called upon him. For some reason, I asked for his forgiveness. I don't know why, but I did. Life started changing. The Lord healed me. But the whole of the top of the head was open, and I did have a blood clot on the brain. But he healed me of that, and I'm still here. I might be a bit daft, but I'm still here. Okay. One of my children died at the age of two. He had hydrocephalus, and then he got meningitis and died. We had another child that died 2 hours old. I can honestly say, reading Job, I have literally gone through the whole lot. We had another little boy, which brought up back to four children again. Then, my first wife died suddenly and left me with four young children. Then, Rose came along. I don't know why she took me and my four children on. And she had a lovely little boy of her own, who was pretty well the same age as my youngest one, and they were like twins. And the family, we've been married over 36 years now, and praise the Lord for that. That's good. That is brilliant. But we've had our difficulties. We had a lovely little business with 18 employees. But all of a sudden, two companies asked us to do work. We did all the work, never got paid for a penny of it. One company just disappeared, and the other one shut down and opened up again next day. So I never got a penny for that. The bank shut us down. We had nothing. We nearly lost our house, but praise the Lord, a job came up absolutely immediately as a contracts manager and I was able, and an engineer, and I was able to take it. And we were able to pay our second mortgage off. So God was with us. difficulties have happened. One of our youngest daughter had a little girl. And she was born with neuroblastoma. If you've heard of that, it's childhood cancer. She had it right the way through her body, everywhere. We were told, first of all, she wouldn't live. Then we were told she'd never walk. Then we were told she'd never hear. Then we were told she would never see. Then we were told she'd never have children. Guess what? She's married with 3 kids. Absolutely perfect. The Lord healed her. He really did. And the people at the Children's Hospital, Great Ormond Street, sorry, Children's Hospital, said it was a miracle. Because by the time she'd had loads and loads of chemotherapy, when they operated on her, a cancer had filled the whole of her top half of her body. Her heart and lungs were down here. The rest was cancer. Said, all we took away was that. And she was healed through power of prayer. That was power of prayer, because loads of our friends, churches, they've been prayed for us. And that little child is healed. We've had various difficulties in our life since. I think we're actually going through the last stages of Job now. But we're really still praising the Lord. That's the first part, the negative part, as they say. Right, could we have the number one up, please? Call, follow me. Rose is going to read it for us.
One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they come and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up from the shore, left everything.
Did you hear that? They left everything. All of a sudden, they were very rich men. They'd had a massive catch, a massive amount of money. And they left it and followed Jesus. One day, when my first wife was still alive, a man called at our door. We let him in, and apparently he was a vicar. He wasn't our vicar. He was from about 2 or 3 miles away. Called on the door. He looked around, said hello, and in the corner there was an organ. He said, "Can you play that?" I said, "Yes, a bit." He said, "You come along next Sunday and you play in the church." Oh. Is that a call? Follow me. That was the start. Follow me. Jesus was saying, follow me. I wasn't a Christian. Now I went to this church and I played in the church. Now, I knew church music because I'd been part of the Royal Schools of Music, so I knew music quite well. I was able to play. But all of a sudden, we started getting music, which was a bit modern. Oh, I didn't like it. "Please play it," they said. So I started playing it. I didn't like it. I did my best. It was the time of the Trevor Deering campaigns. Do you remember Trevor Deering? Anybody remember Trevor Deering? Over at Haynaught. Well, he used to come to our church regularly. And I used to have to play. And I played this new music. And I was really rebelling, I could tell you. Didn't like it. But at that time, they kept preaching about this Jesus. I was being told I was going to go to hell. I was being told. Oh, I asked, had I been saved? People are asking me in the church, you know, in this service, have I been saved? Of course I have. I hadn't. Anyway, one day during one of these services, actually it was assistant Trevor Deering, Robert Lee, was actually preaching this service, and I was playing, a chorus, and I suddenly looked up the music. This is about Jesus. I don't know Jesus. While I was playing, I went in floods of tears and asked Jesus into my heart. Suddenly realized I didn't know this Jesus. He wasn't part of me. He was going to be my King and my Savior. This is the part, the next, number two verse. It's only a little one.
Now when I saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them.
It was a listen and learn part of my life. I'd been listening. People said I hadn't been saved. I was listening. Was I going to go to hell? At one stage, I was frightened. I had that terrible accident a short while beforehand. I didn't know where I was going. I honestly didn't know. So I listened and learned. You up to the next one, Rose?
After this, the Lord anointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure, the kingdom of God is near.'"
Strange things happened to me in that church after I'd been saved. One of the things, all of a sudden one day, the minister came up to me and said, "You're preaching that Sunday." Oh. I had a good Bible knowledge through my life. The church I first went to as a child didn't really preach Christ crucified, but the Bible teaching was there. It was just I had to understand it. So the next Sunday I got prepared, wrote out lovely lots of notes, Bible readings and everything else. You probably noticed there's the notes for today. But first of all, I lost them. So I sat down and wrote them all out again. The next thing I do, I used to have to wear glasses to read then. I sat down and broke my glasses. Oh dear. Right, got another pair of glasses, quickly, and then lost them. Don't you think the Lord was telling me something? I went in that church with nothing apart from the Bible readings, and that's what I brought this morning. The Bible readings that God has given me. Because the Holy Spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, it is God speaking and not us. And I believe God is not... I am not speaking this morning. I believe God is speaking through me. And I really want him to. Okay. So, I was being sent. Right, the next thing we're told that greater things are going to happen to us.
I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father.
I was being asked to serve the Lord, and that first Sunday when I preached, six people came to the Lord, and it wasn't me. God spoke through me. It was then that things started going a little bit awry in my life. My wife died, as I said. But 3 days before she died, she asked Jesus into her life. Now, I was a Christian then. I knew where she was going. I had the wonderful knowledge that she'd gone straight to heaven, but also got 4 kids on my hand. God's Holy Spirit enabled me to put my arms around my kids and love them. And together, we got through it. Shortly after my wife died, we went to Iona. Now, it's a beautiful island off the west coast of Scotland. And it has been a Christian island right from very early days. And there's a little monastery and a little church. And there's a couple of cottages which you can hire. And the vicar at the church which I was at, we all went together with my children and his children. We went to Iona. While I was in Iona, I had some experiences. The first one, I was just one evening, I walked up to the top of a hill. And I had a beautiful vision of a white-haired gentleman in white robes, surrounded with angels, singing. And I just stood there and I just couldn't believe it. It's in my heart. The next day, during the night, I was reading a book called From Prison to Praise. And Martin Carruthers, memory hasn't completely gone. And I was reading it, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, I experienced something that I've never experienced in my life. I know what it was now, because it was the tongues and fire of the Holy Spirit came upon me. It was so wonderful, it's unbelievable. I picked up my Bible, opened it, I could read it, I could understand it. The words of God jumped out at me. God had then made me ready to serve. There is a little passage in the Bible that says Jesus, before he went, after he came back, he said to the disciples, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." At that time, nothing happened, didn't it? And that's what happened to me at first when I was a Christian.
And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Thank you. "But I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
That's what God is offering each and every one of us. He's asking us, we are his commission. He has breathed on us. Do we believe and trust in Jesus Christ? He has breathed on us. At that moment, we asked him into our lives. He breathed on us. What did he tell us to do? Go out into the world. The disciples, after Jesus died, saw Jesus, he spoke to them, he told them what they were going to do, but I feel that they didn't really believe him, because they were terribly afraid, weren't they? And for a while, though they met together, they didn't know what was going to happen. What happened? The Holy Spirit came.
Before I speak, I'm going to apologise for pronunciations. I might get wrong. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them had heard speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are you not these men who are speaking Galilean? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own native language? Paphians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, Sauron, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the word wonders of God in our own in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?"
The Holy Spirit came, the disciples were given power. If you believe it, in trust in Jesus Christ, and you've called upon the name of the Lord and accepted him as your Lord and Saviour, he has called you to work for him. Each and every one of us has been called to work for Jesus. I was called to work for Jesus. I explained to you what happened in the church. I had a call in my mind that said, go out into the world, heal the sick, comfort the distress and bring my word. Now, I didn't know where that came from and I didn't do anything about it until the next week in the church there was a prophecy. And those words were given to me by somebody else. When that happens, you know it's from God. And I knew I had to answer it. I do know God has used me over the years. Rose and I have been to different churches where we've had to work. Sometimes it's in music, sometimes it's in word. Sometimes we've been asked to pray for people and we know they've been healed. A few years ago we were in an African church and we stayed there for 5 years. We were asked to go there out of the blue. We were the only white people there. And we were asked by the pastor there to go out of the blue. He just asked us to come. First of all, to teach the music, and then to bring his word, etc. there. The church went from about 20, didn't it? To about 150 while we were there. And one Sunday when I was preaching, the word of God must have got through somehow. Rose and I, at the end, made a call that anybody that wanted prayer, please come forward. About 150 in that church, and the ministry lasted an hour. Absolutely every single person came forward for prayer. Because God was working. You can do that. Because it's not you. Gilson can do it. Peter can do it. John can do it. Michael can do it. It's not you. It's God. He can work miracles through you. Every single one of us. I have a part two to this for another time, if you wish. And I will explain how and why and the wherefores. The last little passage, number 8. Nearly there.
While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard there was a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God.
Sometimes we ask the Lord into our hearts, and we don't feel like, even though we believe, we don't feel like there's anything happened to change in our lives, don't we? That had happened to those people there. They went to church. They'd asked Jesus into their lives. They'd become real Christians in this church and worshipping God. But nothing had actually happened. But Paul laid hands upon them, and they were given power. We know that we've laid hands upon people and they've received the Holy Spirit. After we left the African church, a young lady of 82 came to see us. You honestly won't believe this. And she said, "Pastor, I've never received the Holy Spirit. I've been a Christian for, how many years was it, Rose? About 60 odd years. She says, "I've never received the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues." We had a little shop at the time, and it was in the shop. And so we said, "Please, can we come home with you?" And we did. We went next day, and we prayed with her. And an 82-year-old went out in the spirit because Rose had to catch her. And, not me, please, don't think it's me, it's not. It's God. Anyway, next day, she come bouncing into the shop, 82-year-old. "I can speak in tongues. I've been praying in tongues. I've been singing in tongues. Listen." And she's sung this beautiful song in tongues in our shop. Oh, praise the Lord. And we think to ourselves, yes, because she's been praying for. Sometimes we do need praying for. Sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't come automatically. The last thing again, just I'm going to say it once more. When you call upon the name of the Lord, He will hear you and you will be saved. If you wish the Holy Spirit in your life, at the end of this service, if you see Gilson, you see one of the deacons, or you see Rose and myself, and we'll pray for you. If you haven't asked Jesus into your life, and you really wish Jesus in your life, it's a time now. If you are a Christian and you wish to rededicate your life, because we have to, I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I get it wrong. Jesus has saved me, but I have to keep saying sorry. He has forgiven me. But there's no point in accepting His forgiveness and going out and doing it wrong, but sometimes we do. We have to go back to Him and say, "Sorry, Lord, I've got it wrong again." And we do. I know I am a sinner. I know I get it wrong. So first of all, I'm going to ask that we all close our eyes. If you feel like it, raise a hand to God. Pray in your heart or pray out loud, and we'll pray together. Dear Father in heaven, I am a sinner. I am sorry that I've got it wrong and I'm doing it wrong. I am sorry, Lord, that I hurt you. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. I have flung the door open I know you're standing there waiting. Please come into my heart. Please make me a new person. Please help me be a real Christian. Allow me to be filled with your Holy Spirit of power and wonder, that I can walk out of this church at your wonder and be able to talk to people, not accustomed to talk to them, to bring your love to those I meet. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.